Good morning, everyone. Let's just begin our day with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've created. We just thank you for this morning where we can begin our day in the Word. We just pray that the Word will speak to us this morning. It'll guide our lives. And we just want to glorify you this morning. We thank you. We love you. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 12 this morning. So that's 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 12 this morning. I'll be reading from the ESV. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for a reviling. But on the contrary, bless for to you for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So just a bit of context to this book, to this passage. The letter was written during the time of heightened persecution by Emperor Nero, when Christians were being tortured, killed, simply for being Christian. There are horrendous accounts, stories of Christians being crucified, thrown to wild animals, others burned alive. So you can only imagine the fear, the discouragement that the early day Christians must have been feeling during this time. It is in this context, when the Christians were suffering for their faith, when churches were scattered, that Peter wrote this letter to the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians scattered throughout primarily the northern areas of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Now, 1 Peter is primarily a letter meant to encourage the Christians during this time of suffering. And personally, I find it especially encouraging that it's actually this letter was written by Peter in particular. And why? Well, remember that in Peter's earlier days, it was Peter who denied Jesus three times. And it was Peter who drew a sword and struck the high priest's servant when Jesus was about to be taken away. I think Peter understood how the Christians must have been feeling at the time of his letter as he went through the same experience in his own life. And therefore, he's sharing from what he has learned of what to do and what not to do as a follower of Christ. 1 Peter has three main sections spread across five chapters. The first sets the scene of why we can still trust God during times of trial. Secondly, as how we can conduct ourselves during times of suffering and trials. And thirdly, how we should be shepherding others. The passage that we read in chapter 3 is primarily dealing with the second section regarding Christian conduct, if you will. From the second half of chapter 2 to the beginning of chapter 3, we see Peter addressing issues such as Christian conduct vis-a-vis the authorities, relations between wives and husbands. And the passage that we covered is a summary of what Peter considers the attitudes that Christians should demonstrate as a community. I felt led to this passage this morning as I was having a conversation with a sister recently, and she was saying it was getting more and more challenging to openly form Bible studies, Christian gatherings in certain secular settings as compared to, say, even a few years ago. And this is partly because of how Christianity does not really align with where social norms are heading towards. And as the world becomes more uncertain for Christians, for Christian communities, I felt it important to reflect upon how we should be interacting with each other so that, one, we can build stronger bonds among each other, and two, consequently, we can better support each other in the days to come. As we reflect upon these points this morning, ask the Holy Spirit to honestly reveal to yourself whether these are attitudes that you are really reflecting in your lives. Now, these are all points that I think both you and I were probably thinking, of course, we know this already, but are these attitudes that you show in your daily life? And more importantly, are these attitudes you show when things get tough and challenging? So this morning, we'll just be spending a little bit of time unpacking verses 8 and 9 in particular of this passage. So verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. This verse covers five elements of what a believer should act and be like. We'll cover each of these. So first, the verse says that we should have unity of mind. Now, we've heard the word unity a lot, I think, in recent months, and I've used this term myself, but what does it mean? Does it mean that we should all be the same, think about the same way about every topic? No, this is not about uniformity. In the Bible, we see lots of disagreements among Paul and Barnabas, among the disciples themselves, and throughout church history, and to this day, there are differences in opinions on so many things. For example, what worship songs are appropriate or permissible in a church service, opinions on cessationism, who may partake in the communion elements, and so on and so forth. Is God calling us to look at each topic and act and think in exactly the same way? I don't think so. So what is it that God calls for when he wants us to have a unity in mind? Philippians 2:5 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Ultimately, the Bible says that each of us have a role to play in the body of Christ, that we are different aspects of the body with different gifts. But ultimately, the head of this body is Jesus Christ. When we interact with each other, we should have the mind of Christ. Rather than focusing on how we think, we should be thinking about how Jesus would think to glorify the Lord in everything that we do. For those of you who are at family worship this past Sunday, I think that was a fantastic example of where we as a body had the mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, adults and children, all with different thoughts, all with different personalities, but all focused on worshiping and glorifying the Lord. Second, the verse calls us to have sympathy. The word sympathy comes from the Greek word to mean feeling with. So in other words, to have compassion with each other. In Romans 12:15, it calls us to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And we also see throughout the Gospels this particular line. Jesus had compassion towards them. Jesus had compassion towards them. We see it throughout the Gospels. And if we're to have the mind of Christ, then this attitude of having compassion towards each other should naturally flow out of us. When we have sympathy, we have compassion. It removes our own selfishness and is what enables us to build stronger and deeper relationships. Third, the verse calls us to love as brothers. Now, this is something that Peter repeats throughout his letter, calling for love. This is something that Peter repeats throughout his letters in both chapter 1 and 4. In chapter 1, verse 22, it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. In chapter 4, verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. As I was preparing for this devotional, I came across a sermon where the pastor posed this question. How on earth can you love an unbeliever if you can't love a brother or sister? Doesn't that go straight to the point? How are we supposed to evangelize and show God's love to the world if we can't even love one another? Peter is calling us to love each other as family members love one another. In John 13:35, it says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, does it mean that conflicts, disagreements, misunderstandings will not happen? No. In our fallen state, this happens. But as it says in verse 4:8 of this letter, love covers a multitude of sins. Love for one another should be the hallmark of Christian fellowship and the glue that keeps the body of Christ strong and together. Now, the fourth and the fifth element of this verse continues on these themes of love and compassion as it calls us to have a tender heart and a humble mind. In one of my study Bibles, it says, being tender-hearted and humble in spirit keeps relationships strong, leaving no place for evil or insult. Isn't that true? If we keep having a tender heart to show pity and, again, compassion towards each other, no matter the circumstance, we don't allow for the enemy's scheme to take root. Now, this may be a lifelong challenge for us as through unpleasant experiences over life, you know, bad relationships, we may become calloused or indifferent. But Peter reminds us that we always need to have a tender heart in interacting with each other in the community. We are also called to have a humble mind, or as I read somewhere, it is to have a realistic estimate of oneself and a high concern for others. Let me repeat that. It is to have a realistic estimate of oneself and a high concern for others. This actually mirrors Philippians 2:3, which says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. By being humble towards one another, by showing brotherly love, compassion, by being tender-hearted, which should all flow from having the mind of Christ, this is what keeps a family and a church body strong and together. Now, moving on to verse 9, which I submit applies to not just how we interact within the church body, but also how a community and believers should interact with people outside a church body. Verse 9 says, do not repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. I can only imagine Christians hearing this verse at that time, probably thinking to themselves, wait, what did Peter just say we should do? Does he not know the suffering that we have been going through at the hands of the Romans? And he wants to, he's telling us not only not to retaliate, but to bless those who are doing evil towards us. In our human nature, not retaliating is already difficult enough. Just watching my two older kids interact with each other, sometimes they get into disagreements. Sometimes one hits the other by accident or intentionally. The other one wants to retaliate immediately. And we have to kind of coach them. We have to stop them. We have to, you know, tell them what they should, how they should act. But it's instinctual, it's natural. But as followers of Christ, we're asked to walk in the opposite spirit, to bless those who have aggrieved us. Some of the pastors I've been listening to who preach on this topic often talk about struggling when they're driving the U.S., getting angry, annoyed when they're dealing with some very inconsiderate drivers. When I have discussions at house church, because not everyone drives in Hong Kong, the example that's usually cited is dealing with taxi drivers. And I'm sure anyone who's been in Hong Kong long enough have had some unfortunate encounter with a taxi driver who was really rude, aggressive, and just not very pleasant to deal with. I recall one particular incident years ago when I was in a taxi with my family, my parents, and the taxi driver was absolutely dreadful. Rude, unpleasant, driving at the speed of sound, and I was mad. And I wanted to give him a piece of my mind when we were about to get off the taxi. But my father, in that circumstance, showed me how to walk in the opposite spirit as he actually tipped the driver and said some very kind words to bless him when we actually were about to get off the taxi. And I remember looking at the taxi driver's face, which was one of kind of slight shock and a bit of embarrassment, because he was expecting my father to kind of meet him at his level and show, you know, retaliate and show hostility towards him. But because my father blessed him instead, it changed the mood of the driver. Brothers and sisters, holding on to grudges, an eye for an eye. In human history, these are how prolonged wars and conflicts happen. One group has been wronged and they dedicate their lives to repaying that wrong. And the cycle never ends. Jesus showed us the way to break the cycle. After he was humiliated, beaten, and nailed to the cross, he proclaimed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As difficult as this is for any of us to do, Jesus has shown us the model of what needs to be done. Verse 9 also tells us that we need to do this not only because it blesses them and displays Jesus' love in our lives, but it also says that you may obtain a blessing, that you may obtain a blessing. So even if you're not keen on blessing those who don't want to bless, God's comfort to us is that it is ultimately a blessing for ourselves. As I invite Pastor Ernie to prepare for worship this morning, let me read the verses again, but from the Message version, as it gets the essence of this passage across really well. So this is from the Message version. Summing up, be agreeable, be sympathetic, be loving, be compassionate, be humble. That goes for all of you, no exceptions. No retaliation, no sharp-tongued sarcasm. Instead, bless. That's your job, to bless. You'll be a blessing and also get a blessing. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful. Snub evil and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. God looks on all of this with approval, listening and responding well to what he's asked. But he turns his back on those who do evil things. Remember that the Christians hearing this letter were in a time of persecution, when things were tough. My friends, we need to be better prepared for such a time. As we sing this worship song, we need to spend more time reflecting upon these points in our own lives. What do we need to work on to more closely model the example that Jesus set for us and what Peter has laid out in his letter? When things get even more difficult, will we still be able to keep this attitude? Practice living it out in our lives now so that it becomes habit. So when things get tough, our attitudes will be better prepared for the challenges that are to come. So let's spend some time in worship now.
Alleluia. Alleluia. I sing to you, Lord, a hymn of love for your faithfulness to me.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are battling through cancer. Let's lift up families and friends who are battling through different types of illnesses, but also need spiritual salvation in their lives. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up brothers and sisters and family members who are battling through different types of illnesses. Let's lift up the COVID situation in our community. Let's pray for our sister Grace, who's been battling through COVID, and any other families that are dealing with COVID right now. Let's also lift up all the frontline medical workers. Let's pray for protection and safety over them, and pray for energy as they continue to serve this community in Hong Kong. Thank you. Let's lift up members of our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God to open the right doors for them. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, Oasis House, Pastor Jenny O. Let's pray for North Korea for open doors for more ministry. Let's pray for more missional opportunities and partnerships throughout Asia. And let's also lift up for the persecuted churches, the Middle East classes and outreaches, and all the meetings. Let's lift up the SP weekend gatherings, pray for our Sunday service, The Well, SP Kids, Worship, Hospitality, SP Youth, Spin and Spill Services and Activities, Classes and Outreach, and all meetings. Let's just pray that you know, everything that we do this weekend in these gatherings will all be led by the Lord. Let's lift up our sisters and our community who are pregnant at the moment. Let's just pray for smooth pregnancy, pray for protection for both the mom and the baby. And finally, let's lift up our house churches that are meeting today. Bowen House Church, Hollywood House Church, Mawan, and Southside. Yeah, just pray for a really anointed time as a fellowship. Pray that they'll have a really good discussion and a really good sharing about, you know, any storms in their life. And just pray for, yeah, just a wonderful time of fellowship. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you again so much for this morning where we can start our day in the Word. We just thank you for this reminder that Peter set out in his letter for Christians who are dealing with challenges, dealing with struggles. And Father God, I just pray that, you know, the attitudes that he reminded us this morning, it's something that we can reflect on in our lives now and also in the times to come. So Father, we just thank you again for this morning. We just pray for your covering for all my brothers and sisters here this morning. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you everyone for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful day. God bless.